Good morning, everybody, and welcome to People's Church. My name is Dirk Hamilton, and if you're in search of a great place where you can go to make new friends and help yourself grow, then look no further, because you're right here. I have to talk fast, but I want to be clear. We're a little different, as you can see. Today, we're sharing love through poetry. So keep coming back week after week, and you just might find whatever you seek. But now I gotta stop this wonderful rhyme and say a few more things before I run out of time. You'll notice the order of service is not quite traditional today. We have a special treat in store for you. We've invited some of our own wonderful poets and creative people to share some of their works with you. So this morning will be a special event full of poems and some original lyrics through song. We're not going to have the singing of the introit today. And unfortunately, we won't have time to permit for joys and concerns. But I want you to know that just having you in the room is a joy. And if you carry concerns, then just know that we share in the spirit of caring. Following the service, we have put together some special booklets of the poetry that you will be hearing today during the program. So upon leaving, I don't know if we'll have quite enough copies. We didn't want to overdo it. But if we have enough copies, take them. They'll be sitting in the foyer on the bookcase. Little booklet called People's Poetry. We'll also be having a special collection today during the offering, and Vincent DeRoche will share that information with you. After the service, we will have a special drawing for the Bread for Our Journey. So when you think the service is over, don't leave. And at this time, it is my privilege to invite Mary Lee McNellis to light our chalice and share some of her work. Get the candle. Chalice up here. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. One more try. I'll help you.
Here we go.
Are you heavy?
Yes.
I have this poem on this table, and if you want to see the words, here they are on the board. Tell them I. I really need right now this. I take my poem in that was written in Mr. Papa's Swag Poetry class last fall 2014. Here it comes. I am a holy brown-haired lady with blue eyes. I am the daughter of my mom and dad who loves me. I am the sister of Vincent who loves to play settles with me. I am the granddaughter of Grandma who taught me how to speak. I am the granddaughter of Natalie Papa, who night called them in vain. I'm a friend of Nathan, who likes to call me from holidays. I'm a friend of Sarah, who taught me to join the swim team. I'm a friend of Nate, who likes to play softball with me. I am the hole who loves to eat mix sausage with ice cream with whole houses. I am the sausage that he make whole, full whole, that. I am the whole who loves to play the piano with whole mom. She is right there. I am a dog lover. I am an animal lover. I am a strong swimmer. I am a strong survivor of sorcery national. I am a writer. I am a poet. I am very neat.
And we'll have Rainbow Oblivion come back. And I think this is an original song by Chris Mesros that Rainbow Oblivion will be performing for us now.
Yeah, there appears to be a...
It's a typo. The song is written by this one.
It's written by me, actually. Yeah.
We promise no potatoes involved in this song.
Yeah.
Or are they?
Could be. Here you go.
Thank
If you can find it in a villain, you should.
think we're going to the chord here, so it's like under the center. That's it.
If all the children would like to make their way forward.
We're going to read The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. And I'm McKenna Seaver, and...
I'm Ben Miller.
Right. Once there was a tree... And she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come. And he would gather her leaves. And make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk. And swing from her branches. And eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by.
And the boy grew older. And the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I am too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have the money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy.
But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy. And she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. "I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house. But you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy.
But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I am too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy. But not really.
After a long time, the boy came back again. "I am sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone." "My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I am too old to swing on branches," said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb. I am too tired to climb, said the boy. I am sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump, and I am sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest. And the boy did. And the tree was happy.
The end.
You want to ask?
Sure. So, why did the tree do all this for the boy?
He wanted to make the boy happy.
Yeah.
Yes, it is good to do nice things for people.
Yeah.
Because trees are nice.
That's true.
That's a good answer.
All right.
Anyone else? Okay, you can go to your classes now.
McKenna Seaver is going to play special music for us today. If you'll join with me now in our words for giving thanks. From the countless gifts we each have been given, gifts of life and love and sustenance, we bring these small portions to share the works of love which none of us can accomplish alone.
Cassandra. When I look at her, I taste her sadness. It is salty and reminds me of something I used to know. I want to reach out and brush the veil of hair from her eyes, still deep pools in which everything sinks. She collects stones in her belly. They moor her in place, keep her from washing away with the tide. Without them, she would be so light. She could hover above the earth, the soles of her feet casting shadows. There is a secret folded deep inside her, like a note she once passed to herself. It is a truth belonging only to her. If she had the courage to bend back the corners and stretch the time-worn crease, it would open into paper wings, and she could fly away. I want to lean in close and whisper like the wind. There's more. You can do it. Go ahead. I want to see her face unfold in recognition when she remembers her strength. But I cannot make her do anything. And she has forgotten she has hands. She does not remember her feet at all. So I wrap my arms around her stony frame and I hold her because she cannot hold herself. And I tell her I love her like my own daughter because she has no voice. And I cry for her because she has no tears. And I hope. I always hope. Because the greatest act of courage is never giving up on anyone. And I like to believe I'm brave.
So my wife and Ellie and I lost our son, Matthew, in he was killed in action in Iraq, 2007. He was buried in Section 60 of Arlington National Cemetery. And after the folded flag, the honor guard, the 21-gun salute and taps, which appropriately celebrated the spirit of the warrior, I felt the need to celebrate the creative spirit of a little three-year-old boy that I once knew. Another autumn song. Here above ground in Section 60, I stand over newly wounded earth. The bone-white marble teeth of this military graveyard are bared in scalding summer light. Why does another autumn song tug the leg of my dark suit today? The first time I buried my son, he broke free from a tomb of leaves I molded around him in play. That late afternoon in early November, between the swing set and the mermaid fountain, I piled on heaps of scabs, shed by sweet gums and poplars that ringed the children's park. He came out face first, flaming cheeks, nut brown hair, a 3-year-old. Parting the pile, shrieking joy, born into crisp air. He came back then. We celebrated his resurrection, pitched handfuls of his make-believe prison into the wind, spread our arms, knelt, and with full-throated operatic monotones, sang our song for any passerby to hear. Leaves, leaves, leaves. So I am drawn away from July in Arlington to a November day. Not because I believe he will emerge with me to sing again. I go because the beckoning siren offers gentle, fading, golden light rustling on the ground and a softer song. Her music is faint, rhythmic squeaks from rusted hooks and metal links that chain an empty swing in the breeze. And she too sings, leaves, leaves, leaves. I go because she will show me the colors of his face and hair. in a dappled mosaic lying at my feet among the fallen.
Time-broken clocks. Empty machinery, my heart ticks. A clock recording the moments of my movements stiffening. This body only echoes the resounding click as each gear whirs into place and finally stops waiting to be rewound, because I realized your time ran out while mine stopped before I found the difference between warmth and cold, metal and bone. Only life and a death my clockwork world will never know. Before an empty grave, I sing to deaf ears as my voice rusts with the asking of why. I still feel the impact of your smile, but not the rain upon my skin.
Wow. Thanks for letting us do a poetry service. I'm Leanne Seaver, and I am really just vibrating with the words and the music that has been expressed so far today. I like how Emily Dickinson said it. If I feel physically as if the top of my head were taken off, I know that is poetry. You are in the presence of poetry, people. As I sat up here and listened to Mary Lee McNellis share her poem, I was in the presence of her mother's face, watching her another poem. Poetry happens in so many ways. It creates within us a sensory response.
Dedicated Methodist. Yes, we attended Methodist church, though not consistently. Yes, Stanislavski prescribes the method for his actors. Students study the scientific method at school. The eccentric says, "There's a method to my madness." I say, "There's a method to my sanity." Dedicated to developing methods to organize time, to organize space, to organize things, to organize the house, to organize people, to organize events, to organize ideas. Heck, I want to organize my mind full of medical mumbo jumbo, my mind full of frequent failings, my mind full of schedules that I try to synchronize. Synchronicity, the key to success for some. A puppeteer pulls strings. The puppets must move in time. A musician strings the notes, sings the notes, stretches the silence to keep in time, to keep time. I try to keep time from running away from me, to keep time, to hold on to time who does not stand still, to hold on to the hands of Father Time as though time were life itself. Life, a series of events that may or may not be remembered, that may or may not be recorded. Life, a series of events. I dedicate myself to memorializing events, events full of solitary moments, moments full of connectedness. Through my methods, I hold on to my memories, and I hold on to you.
Life will break you. Nobody can protect you from that. And living alone won't either, for solitude will also break you with its yearning. You have to love. You have to feel. It's the reason you are here on earth. You are here to risk your heart. You are here to be swallowed up. And when it happens that you are broken or betrayed or left or hurt or death rushes near. Let yourself sit by an apple tree and listen to the apples falling all around you in heaps, wasting their sweetness. Tell yourself you tasted as many as you could.
On the ragged borders of patience, sentries warily patrol, trying to ward off an invasion of anger. Sometimes they get worn down or overrun. Every frontier is like that, porous, incomplete, and vulnerable. When you were little, your temper tantrums floated from your frustrated self like glossy, fragile soap bubbles, bursting almost as fast as they formed. Your plump lips telegraphing hurt, your cheeks slick with fat, adorable tears. When did I first get mad at you? I hope it was not before you were old enough to deserve it.
The moon is half full. The sons and daughters, the sisters of surrender, the clouds coupling and parting, the back and forth, the gentle force. The dreams and the waking, the songs and the throngs, the bouquets of touching, the deliciousness of kissing, the long void of missing, the poems about living from the dying, the truth about the lying, the hidden trail to the Holy Grail, the sweet surprise in anything, the deep-voiced book, the wild look, the sun and its setting, the seasoning forest, the birthing pain, the epoch of each name, the freeze frame, the ocean emptying and filling, the stars and the moon, the epiphany, the entropy, so many signs, the hope and inspiration, the muse and her mysteries, her silent miseries, the epiphany and the entropy, the entropy, the entropy, and the epiphany, the loving fullness, then the suffering, then the questions and not answering, the waiting and the loving and the hating and the drought, then all the raining, then the bursting, then the containing, in each beginning its own ending.
Last June, I, along with five other members of People's Church, went to the UUA General Assembly in Providence, Rhode Island. It was for me a pilgrimage of sorts. As a member of the Ministerial Search Committee, I was hoping to make some good contacts, maybe even get a head start on the project of finding a new minister. I knew that at least I would be getting some direction and information about how this whole process was going to work. It proved to be a very enlightening experience in ways I couldn't have imagined. The workshops were thought-provoking, the worship services powerful and moving, and the featured speakers inspiring. In a workshop the first day entitled "The Promises and Problems with Infinite Love" by Reverend Dr. Teresa Cooley, I encountered the video that you will see in a minute. It was produced specifically for this General Assembly. Love reaches out. Love reaches out is a relevant theme for all ages and all times. It is the mandate of universalism that, as Reverend Cooley pointed out, we are here to offer something different beyond the divisions of the world. And I would add that we are here to offer something different beyond the divisions within ourselves. This inspiration and message traveled from Rhode Island back to Michigan with a culmination on a city bus ride from Detroit Metro Airport to the Dearborn Amtrak station. I had to get from the plane to the train, but the city bus schedule on a Sunday was shortened and complicated. It was a hot summer day, and a flash thunderstorm made it a very steamy ride. That I was the only Caucasian on the bus seemed an issue for about a minute, until I realized that we were all here doing something important together. On the first sharp turn, an older woman in a wheelchair came rolling at me. She had a surprised look when the man next to me and I stopped her abruptly and gently wheeled her back into place and buckled her chair securely to the protective rails. She was grateful, and I felt the approval from the smiling faces around and behind her. I felt I had earned some special brownie points for my good work. Soon the young man and I were talking. His name was Ray. And he was asking me about my travels. When I told him about my trip to my church's General Assembly and about Unitarian Universalism, he seemed very interested and he probed with more questions. When I tried to explain my view on religion and used the example of our working together on behalf of the lady in the wheelchair, he had some words of wisdom for me. He felt that there was something big at work here, bigger than we could understand, a love, a faith, something we could not accrue on our own. We work too hard, he said, doing things, and that could make us self-righteous, and then we miss the point. Our job includes praying that we learn and become clear about the path that we're on. He liked the ideas behind universalism. We differed a bit on the ideas of salvation, but we still seemed to share a kinship there on the steamy bus ride. At one point, I asked him who were his mentors and teachers, and he opened his arms and said, "These people, they are all my teachers." And then he told me where my next stop would be. He got up and he was gone. When I arrived at my train and was finally headed home to Kalamazoo, I sat back and rested and felt grateful for all of it. And then I wrote down a few ideas for this poem. It's time to talk of universality, a philosophy and theology. Looking through the doors of diversity, I found my way on a bus in Detroit. It came to me literally in a woman in a wheelchair who nearly rolled over me on a corner in Detroit. I caught her with the help of the man sitting next to me, and we stopped her and gently wheeled her back to her place. Without much introduction, Ray was talking about God. At first, I thought he wanted to save me, but he quickly and quietly explained that the job had already been done. By a love beyond all acts that define me, he said, "Just pray for a path of greater clarity," and then he was gone. And so the glimpse I have of eternity would be the grain of sand that defines me, but for the love you choose to give me, which has become our holy dance.
We're having a couple of technical difficulties, for which I'm very grateful, because I'm about to ask David Isaacson if he would take a moment to come up and read the poem that I invited him to read when I thought we were going to be too long.
I am very sorry.
I've got it on me.
Oh.
You cannot get out that easily.
I was having technical difficulties. This is by one of my favorite poets and a patriarch as well. an environmentalist, a seer, a prophet, a farmer, a good man, Wendell Berry. Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance, for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest. Say that the leaves are harvested. So, that's it.